Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense. Welcome to the fear you can hear, but mostly to the world of terrifying imagination. Our mystery drama was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater. I'll be back shortly with Act One. It is sponsored in part by...
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston gives you real flavor, full rich tobacco flavor. Winston's easy drawing too, the filter lets the flavor through. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
When cold and stresses get you down, just call on Global Quinine. Relief in practice all around, so call on Global Quinine.
Now for years and years.
Forget those sneeze and sniffle fears.
When cold and stresses get you down, just call on Global Quinine.
Inimitably effective.
WDAF, Kansas City.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Now here is Act One.
Darkness spreads across the city. Paranoia lashes at our brains. Around every turn our hearts race as we squint desperately at red armbands and dark, hidden eyes. The day in the city was always long, but the night would last even longer on Market Street. Fog whistled in on cat feet as the pursuit began. This is the story of our endless journey to Ocean's Edge. We gathered after dinner, huddled in Justin Herman, sipping drinks to warm our bones. Three men in dark glasses, faces hidden by tall lapels, brought us our message. In a sentence, the rules for our survival. We were to be marked in blue, and our pursuers, red. If we wanted to be alive tomorrow, we needed to follow instructions exactly. "You ain't got a chance in a place like this," said Yoshi, infamous agent of indemnity, and he was already on our tail, with blood on his mind. Ready with his henchmen, he would surface again and again. He showed his face so our fear could have a name, and then he disappeared as fast as he's come. We looked after him, but his trail was hidden by a rising steam from an open street vent, gone into the urban jungle. The first goal was the staircase, and then the White Tower. Who would meet us there? How would we proceed? The whistle blew as our paths split and crossed again, and the sun rushed to disappear ahead of us. Ghostly beggars in sharp suits, costumes on the people of the street. As fleeing runners, we learned not to trust anyone, lest they turn towards us in pursuit. We were fueled by Jack Daniel's whiskey and raw fear, and only this potent combination allowed us to evade the red enemies. Yoshi saw we had beaten him once, and he was hungry for our bands. But we had safely reached the tower already. Here our first contacts quenched our thirst for water, but not for answers. Looking out over the city, Chinatown was ahead. We knew that North Beach was so full of agents we had less chance than GI in Normandy. Leaping over a short stone wall, we exited west and carefully made our way downhill, hearts pounding over the din of the pulsing city. Outside of the first safe zone, fear took control as the agents' devious tactics split our tightly knit group of four. I was lost from the other three. Not knowing my three compatriots had found the red-haired stranger, I ventured off, confident that I'd see them on the far side. Facts of the matter hit me like a magnum slug at close range. No one at my side, I bolted down the street, cursing my luck. Seeing the back end of a rickety truck, I grabbed hold of it and jumped on. It's transporting the day cardboard of 100 purchase boxes, deader than I'd be if this truck didn't get rolling. It wasn't moving fast, but the agent on my tail got up. He left me in the center of a pack of henchmen that I couldn't see. Racing, zigzagging through the neighborhood, I hadn't the faintest idea where to turn. Via Ferlinghetti, I was spotted again. Reds at either end of the street left me no option. It was defeat or the alleyway. I chose uncertainty and ran down the short back street, hurriedly seeking a stairway, a fence, a fire escape. Behind a dumpster, I pressed my body against the wall and discovered a door handle that moved. Quietly letting myself through to the other side, I locked it behind me as my eyes adjusted the inside light. It was a bar, and a fancy after-hours party was on. I looked the part since I'd worn my best necktie. Nobody asked any questions of someone breathing hard, walking fast with wide open eyes. At the bar, I got a soda looking conspicuous, but the door I'd come in by was drawing attention. I had to give them a slip out of the side door. I referred to my guide map and saw that the only way was downhill south into Chinatown. Walking out the street, I found myself at the busiest intersection in North Beach. Green Street, Columbus, and Stockton. Immediately two agents appeared and I was off sprinting. Up the hill was a cable car. My ticket to safety? I reached it after two blocks and jumped on, but was promptly thrown off. The illegality of my actions had no bearing on my decisions. Escape was the only idea that I considered. Leaving the car, I ran again. One block, two blocks, there they are. I ran until my lungs burned and gravity stopped pulling me down. At the bottom of the hill, I moved forward in the streets twice, then three times. Every street in which I entered, approaching the safe zone, there was a risk that I was too smart to take. But if I couldn't make it to the second point, had my compatriots already received the information? I betted on trusting them in a place where no one could be trusted. Not knowing if they had been captured, if they could evade the raids, I gave up on Chinatown and moved back up the hill. When I'd gotten within a few blocks of the third safe zone, Yoshi appeared again with his followers. Is that him? Go, go! I saw signs for Wetmore, Washington, pass by. My eyes saw red as my legs stopped functioning. With only my own dwindling energy to keep ahead in pursuit, my only path to escape was straight over a fence, reeling through the bushes. Laying silently, hoping that I wasn't seen, for what seemed like hours, but only could have been moments, I heard only the sound of my heartbeat. Vaporous breath escaping upwards through the leaves. Get out of my yard, you bastard! The cops are already on their way! Now it was even more dangerous. I hoped against hope that the safe zone would give me some respite. Faithfully, like sweet charity, the second cable car came rumbling up the hill. I boarded for the second time, collapsing at the feet of the brakeman. He'd seen stranger things, and I could tell by his glance. I was only three blocks from safety, and nobody would stop me now. Trademark flying dismount. I'd seen it before and executed another only to come face to face with none other than Boss Kizu Blair. He looked up from his map, surprised, but he had bigger fish to fry. Zooming off on his Schwinn, he left too quickly to see my group come out of the market, overjoyed. We had all made it to point three. Now that the boss had seen us, it didn't seem like there was any way we could get away safe. We discussed our options and fled to the south, fast as we could.